last week we were reminded of the completely humble way and the circumstances in which Jesus not only lived, but especially the circumstance in which he was born. I know we come together and we celebrate it and we rejoice in it. You know, we hear all these Christmas songs about it, but when you stop and read and consider the actual circumstances through which our Savior was born, they were pretty rough and humble. You know, Mary and Joseph, they were not the richest of people. They were pretty poor. They were young. They were scared. By all biblical knowledge that we have, they were pretty much alone. You know, we really don't see their family coming around to support them. So we can only imagine, you know, the humility in which Jesus not only was born, but also in which he lived. But we learned that God has a heart of compassion toward the underdog. Over and over and over again throughout the scriptures, we see that God just loves to give his love and his grace and his mercy to the underdog, to exalt those who are humble, so that they stand as a testimony of who God is and what he is like. And we are challenged to also have that same heart of God toward the poor and the oppressed, to come in, to be their defender, to be their, you know, the Jesus to them, so that he can heal them and restore them and make all things new. So this morning we come together, of course, with great joy, as we celebrate the birth of our Savior. After all, Christ is born. That's what we come together to remember this morning. Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us, born. So we're now going to continue through those humble beginnings, which wrap the greatest gift that any of us could ever receive or offer to somebody else. And that, of course, is the salvation of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we read this story, and most of us are familiar with it. We're going to read through it this morning. You know, if you don't follow me on Facebook or whatever, I'd never noticed this before I read it on Crosswalk Devotional, but, you know, most of us watch, you know, the Peanuts Christmas story, you know, during Christmas. Most of us do that. Powerful moment in that when Linus reads from Luke chapter 2 and tells Charlie Brown what Christmas is all about. It's the only time in the history of Peanuts where you'll see Linus drop his security blanket to tell about the birth of our Savior. It's just a powerful, while you're turning there, you know, just kind of thought to have in mind. I never noticed it until recently. All right, so we continue Luke chapter 2 verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census was to be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who he was pledged to be married to, and who was also expecting a child. While they were there, a time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God, saying, go ahead, Dave.
Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men.
Amen. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. And indeed, these angels were right. The birth of Jesus Christ, our Savior, it's good news. It brings great joy to people even today. All people, every tongue, every nation, every tribe, every people, the salvation of God is available to all of us. And so that should cause such great joy inside of our lives, such great joy to share it with other people. You know, us who were so lost in our sin, we've been set free. We've been given power over all sin and temptation, even death itself, even as Jesus Christ, our forerunner, has been given. God loved us so much and had such enormous compassion and empathy toward us that he sent his only son for us. You know, it goes back to the beginning of the story in Genesis. You know, after Adam and Eve sinned, God sacrificed an animal to cover their sin and shame. They knew they were naked, so he slaughtered an animal and used its skin to cover their sin and their shame. And after delivering Israel from Egypt, God then established another system of animal sacrifices to cover the sins of the people and to create a way to worship God favorably and acceptably. And all those things were awesome, but they were merely a foreshadowing of the reality that was to come, as described in detail in the book of Hebrews. But we read here in Colossians chapter 2, verse 17, these things are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. And so what all those foreshadowings could never accomplish, Jesus Christ himself accomplished. He made a way for us to be forgiven, set free, reconciled to his heavenly Father, where there simply was no other way. And so now in Christ alone, we have hope, we have forgiveness, we have reconciliation, we have life and life abundant, brand new creation in him. We can truly and freely worship like nobody ever could in that shadow copy of the temple in heaven. We can finally, finally be set free. Now, as Jesus said, in this world, we have troubles. And while we are in this flesh, we have struggles and we have temptations. However, in Christ alone, we find everything that we need. Everything we need to overcome those. Every comfort that we need in life. He is supreme over all things. And yet he humbled himself to serve us. To become just like we are. Humbled and tempted in every single way. So when you go to Jesus because you're struggling in temptation, he's not going to turn you away like you're something nasty and disgusting. Like he has been tempted in the same way as you are. Yet he overcame, never fell into sin. I mean, think about that. We have this great high priest who can fully empathize with us. Not just who has compassion toward us, but who has been where we have been, who understands our struggles, yet who has the power and the wisdom to enable us to overcome them all. Jesus stands now as our defender, who always hopes in us, who always trusts in us, who perseveres until the very end and even beyond. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 9, we're reminded of this encouraging truth. It doesn't start out encouraging, but there's an encouraging twist. In verse 1, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, as for you, and that's for every single one of us, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in the way which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, whose spirit is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh, following its desires, following its thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of the wrath of God. But, my old pastor used to always say, buts are big in the Bible. We are deserving of the wrath of God. But, because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace that you have been saved. And God also raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, which are expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Incomparable riches God wants to show to you. Everything in his kingdom he gives to you freely. But we're reminded in verse 8, "For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. It is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." The fullness of salvation is the gift of God. Free gift. His grace enables him to just pour out the fullness of his salvation upon us here and now. Not when we die and go to heaven or get raptured up beforehand. Now, right now, we are made alive in Christ. Right now, spiritually speaking, we're seated with him in the heavenly realms. If we could grasp that reality, that is, wow, it's powerful. We're hybrids. We're living here in the flesh, but spiritually we're seated in the heavenly realms with Christ Jesus reigning supreme over all. I mean, that is awesome. Awesome. All because of the birth of Jesus. This salvation cannot be earned by good works. It just can't be. Praise be to God, if we can't earn it through good works, then we can't really lose it through bad works, right? It's a gift of God. Gift of God. Too often, especially this time of year, however, I believe that we get a misunderstanding of who Jesus truly is. You know, you turn on 3WS and what do you hear? Christmas carols, you know, 24/7, you know, throughout Christmas songs, Christmas carols. Most of those songs you hear are powerful songs of worship. But I mean, how many of us sing them while we're driving down the road and they are just empty words? We don't think about the truth that we're proclaiming and declaring as we sing those songs. You know, it's the Christmas season and most of the nation today celebrates that, but it's celebrated in emptiness. You know, we still have a tendency this time of the year to belittle Jesus and to make him that poor little infant helpless babe. And isn't it true? Like, We want Jesus to be who we want him to be. We love that little helpless infant baby Jesus because, you know, he's just so sweet and precious and he's just a beautiful gift to the world. But he grew up and he now stands as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that Jesus scares some people because that Jesus... Remember John 3:16 and verse 17, Jesus, you know, it says that for Jesus came not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. We love to cling to that Savior Jesus, but we forget that Jesus is coming back. The first time he came to save the world through him, the second time he's coming to judge the world. After giving us a lifetime of opportunity to accept the free gift of his salvation, he waits patiently, but, you know, we like Jesus to be who we want him to be, you know. Lead singer for the angel band Lynyrd Skynyrd, I mean, you know. I'm serious, I mean, you ask different people who they think Jesus is, and there's some really flaky opinions out there of who he is and what he's like. Praise be to God, we don't have to wonder or think about it. We know, his word reveals who he is. So this Christmas season, I'll encourage you, don't shove the grace of God underneath your Christmas tree, so it's out of sight, out of mind, not embarrassing you because of all the other, you know, Best Buy tech gifts that you may have bought this Christmas season. This Christmas, I believe God is encouraging us to bust out that free gift of salvation and not to be ashamed of it and to hide it, but to let everyone know, look how awesome this gift is, and it's available for you too. You know, just like that new gadget you get all excited about it, show your friends about it, talk about it, you know, let's show it off to everybody. Also, just like that new gadget that you might get this Christmas season, don't miss out on the full benefits and features of your salvation. I mean, how many of you guys have ever gotten like a device or something and... I'll share this example because this is just, I'm not a carpenter. I mean, you know, and it fits the Christmas story, you know, right? Amen, Jason? Because Jesus, he was raised as a carpenter. His father, Joseph, was. I had this hammer that I've been using forever, and my brother-in-law, we were working on a fence, and he saw me pounding in nails, you know, holding them, and I slipped and hit my thumb, of course, and he's like, "Dude, why are you doing that?" I'm like, "Why?" And he showed me, there's this little thing on the top of my hammer that you sit a nail into. And then you pound it, and then you just nail it in. And I had that hammer for years, and I had no idea that that little notch was there and what it was for, you know? How many of you guys have ever had something, or you get a tech device, and you're like, "I had no idea it did that." You know, I believe too many believers are like that with their salvation. Salvation is so much more than just a get out of hell free card. You know, so much more. We miss out on the fullness of God's salvation because we just don't know the features that are available to us. So don't be like that when it comes to this. You know, the Greek word that we see used over and over again in the New Testament, we translate it to the word saved, you know, and so whenever we think someone's saved, we just think that, well, they're going to heaven and not hell. That's kind of what, you know, most people think salvation is. But when you look at that word, sozo, it is a powerful word. This word literally defined, it means to save, which is what we think of, to deliver, to protect, literally or figuratively. It means to heal, to preserve, to do well, to be made whole. I mean, the true meaning of the salvation of Jesus, the fullness of his salvation is so powerful. I mean, you need physical healing? It's available to you. You need delivered from some bondage in your life? It's available. You're lacking something in your life and you need to be made whole and complete. It's there for you. I mean, the salvation of Jesus Christ is amazing. The fullness of it is unbelievable. You know, to preserve your life. Literally, salvation will do that. It will preserve your life, give you a brand new life. It'll protect you from so many troubles in this world if we just understand it and know how to properly use the gift of salvation we've been, you know, given, for lack of better terms. So this Christmas season, we don't want to miss out on any benefits, any of the features of God's salvation. If you are lacking some area of this in your life, do not rest. I mean, cry out to God until you receive the fullness of your salvation. Don't let the enemy deceive you or trick you into think, well, I did this wrong and that's why I just can't get healed. This is just God's punishment for me. That is not true. Jesus paid too high of a price for us to believe lies about ourselves. We need to cling to his truth. The truth about his salvation and what it provides for us. And not to accept anything less. We need to be ones like David who cried out, and I love this, Psalm 103. I love this psalm. It is powerful. Cry out like David cried out. First of all, he cried out, praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul. And forget not all of his benefits. Who forgives your sins, I take that back, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. So many times we are entrapped and ensnared by sin because we think that the desire we have is bad. And we try to get rid of the desire. We try to get rid of the desire. And we think that because that desire is there, we are sinful. The truth is, God created us with the desires that we have. The enemy tries to appease them with things that have many strings attached that lead to death. Look at this. This is a benefit of your salvation. God will satisfy your desires with good things. Don't feel guilty about your desires. Go to God and be like, God, I need help fulfilling this desire, whatever it might be. Go to God. Don't let your flesh or the enemy fulfill that desire. Go to him because my word of God says that he will satisfy your desires with good things. Wow, how good is our Heavenly Father? Remember last week? No, I think it was 2 weeks ago when God spoke to David and he's like, you know, I would have given you anything. If all of this was not enough, I would have given you more. That is your Heavenly Father. He is a good, good Father who wants to satisfy our desires with good things. In verse 6, the Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made his ways known to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. You can just cut off that lie of the enemy right now, that you're being punished by God. Does God discipline us because he loves us? Yes. But God does not punish us. If he treated us the way our sins deserve, none of us would be sitting here this morning. We would all be a little pile of salt or ash or dust at this point. Literally, he does not treat us. He is slow to anger. He will not always hold our sins against us, especially if we cry out and ask forgiveness for them. I just love it. It goes on in verse 11, "For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are just dust. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it, and it's gone. And in its place, remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him. His righteousness with their children's children who remember his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you his mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works everywhere in his dominion." How many of you here this morning are a work of God? Amen. We all should be a work of God. Praise the Lord, my soul. So this Christmas season, closing the message, I feel like the Lord wanted to really encourage us not to be like the people on Talladega Nights and to get who Jesus is all wrong, not to embrace a false image of who Jesus truly is, not to underestimate his power and the fullness of his salvation, but rather fully embrace the free gift of his salvation. Fully embrace it. Be proud of it. Share it. Show it off to people and share it with them, because that same free gift that you have received is available for other people. So if you see somebody who is hopeless, give them hope. If someone sins against you, give them forgiveness. If someone speaks poorly of you, bless them. Isn't that what Jesus does for you? Over and over and over again. Just treat other people the way he treats you. Offer that free gift of his salvation to other people. You see someone who is hurting and pain and in need of healing, pray for them. It's part of his salvation package. Don't miss out this Christmas season on the fullness of his salvation. It is far, far too great and wonderful to miss any part of it. All right, so let's pray together. Let's pray together. Yes. Wow. And I love how, don't feel bad. If you have a hard time entering into worship and praising God, notice all through that psalm and many of other David's other psalms, he had to tell himself, "Praise the Lord, my soul. Praise him." He would go on and lamenting and complaining about how miserable his life is, and he would say, "Yet, I'm going to praise the Lord." It's a sacrifice of praise. It's an offering to him. All right, well, let's just enter into prayer. Lord Jesus, forgive us for misunderstanding who you are. Forgive us for belittling your salvation. Jesus, we praise you and we thank you for giving us everything we need for life. This morning, Lord Jesus, we ask that the fullness of your salvation would become just a burning truth inside of our lives. That God, when we see a circumstance that does not agree with your word, that God, we would receive the fullness of the benefits of your salvation, and we would have it be on earth even as it is in heaven, just as you taught us to pray. So Lord Jesus, we just thank you right now for all the people here and for those who were not able to make it this morning, Lord, that if Lord, they need delivered from some circumstance, if they're being oppressed from some person or from the dark spiritual realms, we just thank you, Lord Jesus, for the freedom and deliverance you have given us and them this morning. If there are those who need physical healing, or their family or friends or someone they know needs physical healing and they are desperate for it, we thank you, Lord Jesus, that your salvation right now has made them whole. We just send that word that they are healed. And we just thank you for the coming testimonies of that healing. For us who just need encouraged and empowered in life, I thank you, Jesus, for your salvation that does that, that lifts us up, that gives us life, that seats us in heavenly realms, although we may be humble here on the earth. We just thank you so much for your salvation. Help us to fully embrace it, not to be ashamed of it, and to share it with others this Christmas season and all the days of our lives. In your name, amen.